Welcome to Today's Issues, offering a Christian response to the issues of the day. Here's your host, Tim Wildman, President of the American Family Association.
Good morning, everybody, and welcome to Today's Issues here on the American Family Radio Network. American Family Radio is what you're listening to, and we thank you for joining us. I'm Tim Wildman, and back from a week away, and I hope that the reputation of this show was held up by my colleagues here. I haven't heard otherwise. Ed Vitagliano, good morning, Ed.
Good morning, Tim.
Did you hold up the stellar reputation that we have here?
Let me just say this. We hit the standard of this show each and every day.
You hit the standard?
We hit the standard.
I noticed you didn't put, quote, goal standard in there. So I'm glad that, and good morning, Brad good Jackson. Morning.
Happy first day of fall.
So I walk into the studio, ladies and gentlemen, this morning just a couple of minutes ago, because, you don't want to get here too early. But Ed and Fred were having hockey banter. And Brent Creeley, our producer, said, thanks for coming in because I can't understand a word these guys are saying. They might as well be talking Greek. But so for you guys, hockey's about to start, and the excitement is building for the new season. Am I right?
Yeah, it's preseason, and his team played my team the other night and won 3-2 in overtime. And he's been giving me the business. And
a preseason game?
Preseason. I said, I've never seen anyone make more about a preseason game.
Maybe when your team's been down.
As is, Chicago has been down.
Okay, so you'll take a preseason win and throw it back in your face.
Yes, that's right.
Because my team came one win away from winning the Stanley Cup. Lost in game 7.
I know you were out of work for 10 days after that. And you had to go on some kind of medication. I do remember that.
Well, actually, I was for many days after that, I was here, but not quite here.
But you weren't really here, Ed. Yeah, Fred and I noticed you had a blank stare in your face.
Yes.
You know what Ed does at lunch hour?
Yeah, what's that?
He goes to his office, closes the door. I know. And he watches the games that Boston won over and over and over again.
But he is an honest man. He's doing it on his own time.
That's right. That's right. And I'll even admit to if there's a really exciting game, a goal rather, I have the cursor right at the spot where the guy starts to say, he shoots, he scores. And I'll just go back to it and just like looping it. Click right back. He shoots, he scores. Click.
But,
he shoots.
But there is no cursing.
No.
I've not heard Ed curse out of his office.
No.
All right. He moved the cursor, no cursing.
Yes.
It was
a computer.
I reached for that joke, I admit. But anyway, thanks for joining us today, everybody. We got a lot to talk about. And I do want to say a special hello, if you will, to all the folks who went with us. Allison, my wife, and I took a group of folks to Williamsburg and Jamestown last week, and then we also did Washington, D.C. and Mount Vernon on our spiritual heritage tour. We do one in June, one in September. And just a wonderful group of folks from all over the country who listen to many of them listen to AFR, and they pray for us, they support us, and just great salt of the earth people.
It's great.
And I tell you, if I'm going to be responsible for 112 people for 4 days, I want them to be Christian.
Huh? That's right.
I would hate to be responsible for 112 pagans.
Let me
pagan history tour, I do not want to leave. Okay, go ahead.
I was just going to say, you said you took a group. Some people listening may misunderstand that and think that these are people you handpicked. Friends of yours.
They signed up.
They sign up so people listening can sign up for the next one.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we're going. We're done for this year as far as our tours. But if you want to go next year, and these trips fill up several months in advance, then you can check out the itinerary, the dates, the pricing, everything you want to see about the tours for 2000. You're right, Ed. Good point, because people need to take vacation time off and such, then they can go to spiritualheritagetours.com, spiritualheritagetours.com, and check out everything about the tours for next year in June and September. All right, Fred, what's going on in the world?
I just want to mention for the last several weeks, we've been talking to Jan Markell of Understanding the Times, Olive Tree Ministries. Mm-hmm. Had the opportunity to go to her conference on the weekend in Minneapolis. Between 4,000 and 5,000 people there at this conference in Minneapolis. They came from 45 states. Mm. So that's how popular her program is.
Oh, yes.
And she was telling me that most of the people who come listen to her program. That's what motivates them to come. Terrific conference.
Yeah, Markell, wonderful lady, and I'm glad you went representing us. I tell you, another thing is I was interested in learning from a lot of folks on our trip how many people listen to the app.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yes.
It's growing number, isn't
wow.
it?
Oh, wow. Yeah, it is really. People are learning about the app.
Mm-hmm.
And the people 50 and up are not scared anymore to download something.
Yeah.
And so they now are familiar mm-hmm. with the App Store. So we're getting a lot of people listen to the app. So go to go to your App Store on your phone or your iPad or similar device and download. We got an American Family Radio app, and then you can listen to us anywhere you go. Mm-hmm. Clear as a bell.
Well, I will say this about my wife. Early on, she was not the most technologically savvy person. And I told her about the AFR app at the App Store.
Right.
And she went to the mall, you know, looking for the App Store. Asking people, where's the App Store?
No, I think that's what's called throwing your wife under the bus for a joke.
The most
just for a joke.
Wife.
Just for a joke, Ed. Oh, man.
Reminds me of these comedians, you know,
or
pastors
who
make fun of their wives, you know, and then, you know.
Yeah, and then they have to go home.
Then they have to go home.
For lunch.
At some point, they have to go home.
They go home after lunch and go, what? What was it something I said? Yeah, it was. It was something you said in front of 300 people. All right. One other thing here, all our preliminaries here. If you want to watch the show today or listen on Facebook or YouTube, you can watch the show there. We put the stories that we talk about, we put those up on our Facebook page, and you can watch the show there or our YouTube page. So today's issues for Facebook or YouTube. All right, go, Fred.
Go. All right. One of the speakers at the Jan Markell conference this weekend was Dr. Robert Jeffress, pastor of First Baptist Dallas. We certainly are familiar with Dr. Jeffress. He let the audience know that he is with President Trump today at the United Nations, where in about 15 minutes, the president is going to make an address to the full United Nations on religious persecution around the world. And Dr. Jeffress was telling us that the statistics show that of that persecution that it's happening globally, 80% is against Christians. And so President Trump
today. That's stunning.
Yeah, it's against Christians. There are some other persecutions, you know, Muslims against Muslims,
right,
et cetera, et cetera. But 80% of the persecution is against Christians. And Dr. Jeffress said this is one of the first times, if not the first time, that a president of the United States has taken a speaking time to address specifically persecution against, and he's going to spend most of the time talking about persecution against Christians. So be praying for the president, be praying for Dr. Jeffress. Dr. Jeffress is going to be on some of the Fox programs tonight talking more about this. This is a big day. It's very important to draw attention to this.
And, of course, the president, much beloved among the United Nations attendees there, I'm sure.
He had a choice today, guys. This is true. I'm not joking here. He had a choice to go to a climate change summit or to speak about religious persecution. And President Trump, maybe we shouldn't be surprised, chose to speak about religious persecution.
Right. Well, he's made his position clear on climate change.
Mm-hmm.
That is the president. He as far as I know, he hasn't said the climate's not changing. Although, what does that really mean? Climate changes every day, huh?
Yes. Right.
But I think the trends toward global warming is what the president says. He doesn't believe it's. I don't think he believes it's man-made,
mm-hmm.
man-created. And secondly, he says it want to put all these regulations and restrictions on the American economy,
mm-hmm.
while the rest of the world does what they want.
Right.
And we're supposed to you know, tie our hands behind our back here in the name of preventing climate change, whatever that is exactly. So I know what it is, but it can fluctuate. Climate change, if it gets colder, you can say, well, it's climate change. If it gets hotter, you can say it's climate change. And where is it getting colder or hotter? So it's a, you know, so the president doesn't surprise me. Saying all that to say the president doesn't surprise me that he does not go to that, mm-hmm. that meeting. But he goes to the United Nations. If he's going to go with Robert Jeffers, Dr. Jeffers, and he's going to speak on this issue of persecution against Christians, which you never hear about in the mainstream media or on the international stage hardly, good for him.
Yeah.
Good for the president. We'll see what he says. Steve Jordahl says he may have some sound bites for us next hour.
Mm-hmm.
So we will see what he has to say.
But I'll make a prediction tonight on the major newscasts.
They'll be all over this, won't they?
Well, they'll be attacking the president for not going to the climate change summit.
Yes.
They'll barely mention his speech about persecution against Christians.
Right. They'll mock him.
Yes.
For not going to
the climate change summit?
It's in New York as well. There's a bunch of folks there. There's been protests already today.
Well, who's the headliner?
The headliner there is probably somebody from Europe, one of those individuals.
See, we don't even know.
Yeah.
I would figure China would be there too.
Yeah, they're really into this.
Leaders. And this is the one, by the way, this climate change rally that New York City schools has encouraged students to skip school.
Yes,
to go and attend.
They've encouraged it.
Yes, to go skip school to go
to get involved in politics
or protest. Yeah, that's a political.
Well, now I saw some of that across the country at probably very few places. But if you're going to start allowing kids to skip school for a political statement and get away with it, then isn't that going to be sort of open-ended about what you're going to subject yourself as a school system to when somebody wants to protest, when students want to protest issue A?
Right.
And you're going to say, no, that's not a word that you can't skip for that reason, but you can for if you want to protest global warming or climate change. You're subjecting yourself to a potential lawsuit there, it seems to me.
I would guess. Now, this, if I'm not mistaken, Fred, this Swedish teenager, Greta Thunberg.
Who sailed across the Atlantic.
Yes. This is all connected to that, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
So it's partially inspired, I think, by her efforts to draw international attention to the issue of climate change.
I will say this, again, we've talked about this before. I do not believe in man-made global warming.
Mm-hmm.
This is me for what it's worth, but I'm not denying that there may be warming going on on the planet or some places on the planet. Maybe there's cooling going on in other places if you read. We in the Southeast here, and I don't know, can't speak for folks maybe north of Tennessee, but we're in a cycle of never-ending 95-degree days here that is really weird. Yeah. I got to tell you, Am I right? We're usually into the mid-80s by now, and it's mid-90s, and I looked at the forecast, and it doesn't look like it's going to stop till October. So I don't know what's going. Maybe we won't have fall. Maybe we have fall in January. Maybe
I've already hurt myself with my wife, so it's not going to matter to say what I'm about to say now.
Yeah.
At this point, but my wife and I have always been. I'm glass half full. She's glass half empty.
Okay.
And so I told her that this week was supposed to be down like in the low 90s or something. And she said, yeah, but next week it goes back up to 95 and 96.
Well, that's what it's saying.
I know,
here.
But that's just a perfect description. If you want to know how the Vitagliano household I said, hey, this week it's dropping a little bit. She said, yeah, but next week it's going back up.
Go outside. Yeah, but anyway, it's been hotter than normal for a lot of folks in the country. At least we're having they call it Indian summer, the summer that keeps going. But maybe we'll look up in April of next spring and go, it is still winter. You know, we're still freezing. All right. The President of the United States, Donald Trump, is going before the United Nations any minute now.
Yes.
And we will see what he has to say about religious persecution in the world. You're listening to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. Next story, Fred.
Well, a story that the major news agencies are paying a lot of attention to, and this has to do with a phone call that President Trump made to the Ukrainian leader. And much is being made by a so-called whistleblower that during that phone call that the president... that the president allegedly said he wanted the Ukrainians to investigate corruption that could involve former Vice President Joe Biden's son, Hunter. Now, there's a lot of background to this. Basically, what happened was that during the Obama years, when Biden was vice president, that his son, Hunter, got a job with an oil company in the Ukraine. And there was an investigation launched into some kind of corruption. By the way, he was going to be paid $50,000 a month, not a year, $50,000 a month by this oil company. So there was a prosecutor in the Ukraine that wanted to investigate this. Joe Biden was getting one of his jobs as vice president of the United States was outreach to various countries. One of them was the Ukraine. And how the story goes, and we're, you know, there's some convincing evidence of this, is that Joe Biden had that prosecutor fired who was going to investigate the oil company that Joe Biden's son Hunter was working for. All right. So this is the context, apparently, of the president's phone call. He wants all of this investigated. Well, the take by the mainstream media and the Democrats is the president is using his office for political reasons to go at a political enemy. All right. So let's start going through this a little bit. Joe Biden on the weekend was campaigning, and he was asked by Fox News reporter Peter Ducey, had he ever talked to his son, Hunter, about the situation in the Ukraine? So this is going to be Brent cut number one.
They are biased, and he admitted this behind closed doors with Senator Hawley on Capitol Hill last week. But it's not enough because this was Mark Zuckerberg saying this behind.
Trump's doing this because he knows I'll beat him like a drum. And he's using the abuse of power and every element of the presidency to try to do something to smear me.
Have you ever spoken to your son about his overseas business dealings?
I've never spoken to my son about his overseas business dealings.
Well, there's a problem. And this morning and during the weekend, Fox found an interview that Hunter Biden gave, I think about a year ago, and they put the quote up on the screen where Hunter Biden said, yeah, I talked to my dad about my business in the Ukraine. So you've got a conflict there. But here's the hypocrisy in all of this. And we're going to play for you right now a excerpt from a speech that Joe Biden gave in January of 2018, where he bragged that as president, he got that prosecutor fired. Cut number two.
We're not going to give you the $1 billion. They said, you have no authority. You're not the president. The president said, I said, call him. I said, I'm telling you, you're not getting $1 billion. I said, you're not getting $1 billion. I'm going to be leaving here. And I think it was, 6 hours? I looked, I said, I'm leaving in 6 hours. If the prosecutor's not fired, you're not getting the money. Well, got fired.
So that you know, they're laughing there.
Yes.
But let me tell you, I know you made it clear, Fred, but just to reiterate here, what you just heard was a 2018, there was a panel or something, or some, I don't know where the event was, but then, former vice president at the time, Joe Biden, talking about the dealings with Ukraine.
When he was vice president.
And what he's talking about is the Ukrainian, there was a investigation in the Ukraine of the company that Joe Biden's son works for or works with or makes money off of, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. In the Ukraine. I don't know what kind of company it is.
Oil company.
Huh?
An oil company.
An oil company. Okay. So what Joe Biden did, then vice president, he made the Ukrainian government fire the prosecutor that was looking into criminal violations by the company that Joe Biden's son worked for, by saying, I'll withhold unilaterally, me, vice president, and the president supports me, $1 billion from you.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what the $1 billion was designated for. But basically, you don't do what I say about firing this guy, you're not getting the $1 billion.
I'm going to give you 6 hours to do it.
Now, to me, that sounds scandalous. Why is it that's the story mm-hmm. that the president of the United States, Donald Trump, said told Ukraine, supposedly. Well, I think the president has admitted that.
They talked about it.
That they talked about this, he and the...
He was, first of all, congratulating the new president
yeah.
mm-hmm. of Ukraine.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And this is President Trump admitting that, mm-hmm. I had a conversation. It was mainly congratulatory. Then we talked about the corruption in
yeah.
Ukraine and then the possibility of corruption here with Biden and Biden's
yeah.
son. And I just, if that's all that happened.
Is that it?
Then what Biden just admitted to doing is far worse.
Yes.
Worse. And don't forget, I'm sure Rachel Maddow, she'll milk this for about a year and a half if she can.
Right.
Just one story here from MS. Or
I don't think we're protecting the president here by saying it's far worse. You have a sitting vice president threatening the president of another
sitting vice president.
Yes,
yeah.
Of another country. By saying, we want someone in your country fired.
Yes, yes. Or you don't get the money.
Who's investigating possible corruption of a company where my son works.
And he said it out loud.
And he's bragging about it. And if you don't fire him, we're not giving your country aid,
mm-hmm.
$1 billion in aid. You compare that with President Trump saying, yeah, I called the newly elected president of Ukraine, congratulated him, and said, hey, this looks, I'm just putting, now I'm putting words in the President Trump's mouth. And making it sound as bad as it possibly could, he would say, I think you should investigate what Biden did with regards to his son over there. All he's doing is asking the guy to investigate something that actually happened. I think it's clearly worse what Biden did.
Yes. And two, the president, the president, if the president had used his, well, let me just say this. This whistleblower, in quotes, this guy or lady never heard the president's conversation.
Nope.
Right.
So I don't know how
you're firsthand.
I don't know how you're a whistleblower. You, in order to qualify as a whistleblower by the government's definition, you have to have firsthand information about something. And this person doesn't.
And they're bashing Trump.
Yes.
Over this.
Yes.
Because the whistleblower. Has the information was not brought to Congress. Well, by law, the Inspector General of the Department of Justice the whistleblower has to have firsthand knowledge, and the whistleblower doesn't. That's why we didn't take it to the Congress.
You know, the left-wing media folks, Joy Behar said this on The View. They so want these stories about President Trump are conservatives to be true that they just wish they are so true that they can't help themselves when they jump the gun and report things that turn out to be within 24 hours false.
Right.
We shall return momentarily with more of today's issues on AFR.
On the next Today's Issues.
Walker Wildman is handling our Facebook presence in the world.
Yeah, if you have a Facebook account, just type in Today's Issues in your search bar, and then our page will pop up. And you can watch the show there every day. or you can view all the articles that we talk about.
Right, but you can also be our friend.
Don't miss the next Today's Issues, weekday mornings at 11 Eastern, 10 Central on American Family Radio and on Facebook.
Hello, everyone. I'm Tim Wildman, president of American Family Association and American Family Radio. Hey, you've been hearing about our Holy Land tour coming up in March, March 12th through the 20th. Well, it's filling up. In fact, I expect us to be full in the next few weeks. So if you're interested in going with us, if this is your bucket list trip and maybe this is the year you'd like to go, just go to the website twholyland.com. twholyland.com. You know, the great thing about our trip to the Holy Land is experiencing it with brothers and sisters from across the country, many of whom listen to American Family Radio and support American Family Association. So you're going to be with folks of like mind and like spirit. We're going to have a wonderful time visiting Israel. So for more information, go to the website twholyland.com. That's twholyland.com.
Fox News Commentary with Todd Starnes.
Hello, Americans. New York City wants to honor women, but there's controversy. That story next. Todd Starnes here, and America is facing a great danger as socialism and secularism continue to grip our nation. The left is not holding back in this culture war, and neither can we. That's why Liberty University's mission of training the next generation of faith-based conservative leaders is so vital. Their students know the value of free enterprise and individual freedom, and they will fight for it. So join me in supporting the next generation of conservative leaders. Visit liberty.edu/Starnes today. The wife of New York City Mayor Bill de Blasio wants to erect a statue honoring a notable woman in the community. But Mrs. de Blasio's catching heat because she rejected the results of a public vote. Now, the top vote getter was Mother Frances Cabrini, America's first saint. She was an Italian immigrant who also became a naturalized citizen and did more for immigrants than anyone else in her day. However, Mrs. de Blasio's committee tossed out the nomination. No reason given. Instead, the city opted to honor two drag queens, members of a group called the Street Transvestite Action Revolutionaries. The faithful of St. Francis Cabrini Church were very disappointed by the slight, but when they heard the saint was tossed aside for a pair of drag queens, well, all they could say was, holy mackerel. I'm Todd Starnes.
That's your Fox News commentary.
This is Today's Issues. Email your comments to comments@afr.net. Past broadcasts of Today's Issues are available for listening and viewing in the archive at afr.net. Now, back to more of Today's Issues.
Hey, welcome back, everybody, to the radio program Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. Thank you for listening to AFR. If you want to send us an email, you can do so at this address, comments@afr.net. comments@afr.net. I'm Tim Wildman with Ed Vitagliano and Fred Jackson. And again, the President of the United States, Donald Trump, is about to speak or is speaking now to the United Nations in New York City. And his topic is religious persecution. And bringing attention to that issue, and he is going to talk about the fact that 80% of the persecution taking place across the globe is against Christians. Mm-hmm. And that is, so we will bring you some audio from that, hopefully in 30 minutes with Steve Jordahl. Steve's working hard to get something that we can bring to you on that topic. Hey, the Holy Land tour coming up in March. We've got 15 seats left. We're about full. So, if you want to go on this trip, it's March 12th through the 20th to Israel. You probably need to. Well, you don't probably to it. You need to check it out now and make a decision soon. The website is twholyland.com. It's March 12th through the 20th. Again, we have 15 seats left, March 12th through the 20th. For the itinerary, everything, the schedule, the price, all the questions you need answered, go to twholyland.com, twholyland.com. Fred, next story.
Well, I've got a little bit more to talk about as far as this whole controversy and slash scandal with regards to the Ukraine story and Joe Biden's son, Hunter. Got a nice job with an oil company over there. And we've just been talking about that when Joe Biden was vice president back in 2014.
Let me just say this, sure, too, Fred, before we go any further. You know what? I don't have a problem with people making money. Who does? This right. is America, right? People right. want to risk, reward, hard work, investments, global, travel the globe and make money. I mean, so President Trump's done that. Evidently, Joe Biden's son's done that. When you get into trouble, when you get into trouble is when you do like the Clintons did, although they didn't get into trouble.
Right.
And that is, huh? So that's true. That they're one of the, but if anybody else had done it, they would have been trouble. And that is, you give money, you do, the personal favors are done using the power of the purse strings of the government to get your own personal wealth enhanced. And right. For example, the Clintons have this foundation, the Clinton Foundation, right? And like 90% of the money that comes in there, maybe not quite that much, but remember the audit, 80% of the money that comes in there. Let me reverse that. Only like 20% of the money is used for the purposes of the foundation. The rest right. of it is used in salaries and infrastructure and cost and expenses of running the foundation.
Right.
Well, foreign governments and individuals were given millions of dollars to the Clinton Foundation, right, when she was Secretary of State. Mm-hmm. Why were they doing that? They were doing that for two reasons. One is to buy access to the Secretary of State to get, because they knew the power of that office, to get deals done, business deals done that would, that would be beneficial to whoever was buying the access. The second was they thought she would be the president and they would be in good standing with her had they given a bunch of money to the Clinton Foundation while she was Secretary of State prior to her becoming president. Well, now that she's not president, the donations have dried up.
Hmm.
Yeah.
What does that make you think?
That makes you think, the donations have dried up. Why? Because she has no power to help them any longer. So, my point is that's an example of what do you call it, quid pro quo,
right,
type work, and I'm sure that shenanigans like this go on all the time. We never hear about it. Republicans and Democrats probably.
Well, let me just give you
one
quick example,
but they're going after Trump
right.
for something that Joe Biden, now it's backfiring because Joe Biden did something far worse.
Right.
And he did it out in the open, it sounds like. Go ahead.
I was just going to say, to your point about people making money, when my time here at AFA is up, I'm sure there will be people who will want to give me
up
millions of dollars because they know I have access
yes, you do.
To important people here
yes,
at
you,
AFA.
Yeah, right.
And I just want to let people know that we're saying here on this
you
show.
You are for sale.
That I, yes, I
not could. Yet, but you will be. You'll be a lobbyist.
I'll be a lobbyist. I'll come okay. take Tim out
you're
for
by,
lunch.
You'll buy influence. Anyway, go ahead. I'm sorry, Fred. That was a 5-minute interruption there.
And then I followed it with
he
nonsense.
Did. He did.
Yes. Well, but you brought us back to the point that Joe Biden, I think when this story, if it ever gets told in the mainstream media the way it should be, is in much more trouble than I think Donald Trump is. And Devin Nunes, who is the ranking member of the House Intelligence Committee, was interviewed on Fox News this weekend. And he says, basically, he even goes as far as to say, I'm not sure if we're going to hear it in this clip. This is going to be cut number three, Brent, that this could be the end of Joe Biden's campaign if this thing really comes out the way it's. And you just heard Joe Biden back in 2018 bragging about what he did. So cut number three, this is Devin Nunes.
I just have to think that none of this is helping Joe Biden at all. He's already, his lead, he started in the high 30s. If you look at all the early states, he's basically either tied or behind, right, whether that's Iowa, California. So I don't think it looks good for him.
So yeah, that's true. And there's a poll, I think, out of Iowa this morning that has Elizabeth Warren now moving ahead of Joe Biden. Well, remember the lead he had at one point?
Oh, yeah.
15, 20 points?
Yeah.
It's disappearing.
Well, and but now here's the thing. This could end Biden's campaign if the mainstream media covers it like they should. But here's the lead story on CNN's website. Ukraine drama, okay, could give Democrats no choice but to impeach Trump.
Yeah, that's where we are.
That's CNN's lead story, headline.
I think President Trump is like Burr Rabbit with impeachment now.
Yeah.
Please don't throw me in that briar patch. By that, I mean he's hoping they do impeach because I think Nancy Pelosi understands and the Democrat establishment understand that that's a loser for them.
Yeah.
It's already going to be hard enough to beat the president as it is. You start dragging people through by the American public through an impeachment.
Especially, what are you going to use as grounds?
I know, Russia, that's what Russian I'm wondering. People collusion? Act, the Democrats act like it's a given. That's a good question. On what grounds are you going to impeach? I don't like him. I hate him.
Yeah. I mean,
is he against global warming?
Let's say they say, okay, this whistleblower thing and this call to the president of Ukraine. And so this is grounds for impeachment. And then President Trump has his attorney go and say, okay, the Department of Justice didn't bring the whistleblower's complaint to Congress because the law states the whistleblower had to have firsthand knowledge, but he or she only heard about it. And here's the transcript of the president's call to the president of Ukraine. Mm-hmm. And nowhere in this call, in this transcript, will you see any X, Y, or Z.
Yeah, what has the president done that you can prove that is impeachable? The Democrats and CNN just keep throwing it around like it's a foregone conclusion. Like, and it's not.
This could make it seem even more clearly to independent voters that this has been a witch hunt from start to finish. You guys got nothing. You've been griping about this guy for 3 years.
That's what Pelosi and the Democrat establishment understand.
Right.
What you just said, they understand. They hate Trump as much as anybody, but they understand impeachment is going to hurt them. That is the Democrats going after him on impeachment. Look, you've got what, 11, 12 months? We got
more than that. November, 13?
You got 13 or 14 months. We're in between, right?
Right.
We're in between 13 and 14 months left before the next presidential election. You really don't have – you're going to spend all your energy and time, if you're the Democrats, in impeachment – when you got an opportunity to, you've got an opportunity to de facto impeach him by beating him at the polls.
Right. Plus, if the Democrats in the House impeach the president, every one of the candidates for the nomination for the Democratic Party are going to have to give that a big thumbs up. Mm-hmm. And they're going to have to talk about it at over the next several debates.
That's going to be their, yes. So, I mean, I think they do. They would be wise not to, and I think President Trump, he wouldn't say this, although there isn't much he doesn't say out loud, right? But I don't think he would say it out loud that, you know, he would like for them to impeach him.
A double dog dare.
Maybe he would. Anyway, go ahead, Fred.
One more ingredient here. Sebastian Gorka, a very familiar voice and former advisor to the president, has further accusations against Hunter Biden and implicates Christopher Hines, who is the stepson of John Kerry. Sounds like an unfolding soap opera here. Mm-hmm. But have a listen to what Gorka had to say. Cut five.
The stepson of John Kerry, the son of Joseph Biden, when they were cabinet members of the Obama administration, created a new investment fund called Seneca. They inked a $1 billion deal with the Chinese government, the Bank of China, and then together proceeded, this is just one example, to buy a U.S. manufacturing company called Hennings that was making very sensitive equipment crucial to our American military here at home.
Yes. And there's one more ingredient. I seem to remember this story that perhaps there's been some evidence that they were embedding something into that military equipment that could be tracked.
Well, we're talking about the Ukrainian connection that Joe Biden's son has financial dealings with companies, but also China.
Yes.
As well. And so, and again, I don't know if there's anything unethical or immoral or illegal. Who would know? I mean, that you would have to be it would have to be investigated. But I do know, I'm talking about with Joe Biden's son, Hunter Biden, but I do know that what I heard from the lips of the vice president himself, that is Joe Biden, that sounded terribly unethical and wrong. That is, he was using the government, federal government money to hang over the heads of the Ukrainian officials to tell them what to do domestically. That is, fiery prosecutor, or you don't get the money. If Trump had done that, Rachel Maddow, huh?
Yeah.
If Trump had done that, Rachel Maddow, her head would explode with confetti. Her head would explode with confetti, and it would probably be boosted to the moon.
Yes.
If President Trump had done something like, said something like what he said, right? What the vice president said. Right?
I think we can all agree right here now, first of all, that just the name Sebastian Gorka is one of the great spy names
I'm
of all
time. I'm seeing a pro wrestler.
Sebastian.
Aren't you in this corner?
I am Sebastian Gorka.
Or a boxer? A world-class boxer?
Just so folks don't think we're just picking on the Democrats, wasn't there some concern even about Mitch McConnell and his father-in-law, right? Didn't Mitch McConnell marry? Isn't he married to a Chinese woman?
Yes, he is.
And it was, and her
transportation
father
transportation
secretary. Cho, right?
Yes.
So her, and her father's a shipping magnate in China, and so there was concern about business deals. Listen,
that's why I said Republican and Democrat,
right?
This precedes the United States of America. That is, these kinds.
Yes, this is biblical times kind
right.
of thing. These
this,
deals,
this goes
but
on.
This is something the founding fathers understood, and that's why you're supposed to have checks and balances
against corruption.
Because corruption goes with big money, and that's why you shouldn't have a federal government that spends big money and has big tax dollars available to hand out as favors. And I would say this, although I know. There's always disagreement about term limits, but the longer you're in a place of power and money like Washington, D.C., the more deals you can make.
Oh, how do you think all these people, all these politicians get rich?
That's right.
I mean, filthy rich. After they leave, they don't make get rich money as a salary in the House, Senate, or the White House. Of course, the president's a billionaire, he doesn't need a salary. But I'm talking about how do you think Obama got to be a multi-millionaire?
Bought a $15 million home on Martha's Vineyard.
Now I know he had a book that he sold,
right,
and everything like that. And you get speaking,
and that's part of it.
And you get paid to come speak at events and such. There's nothing illegal about that,
right?
But you watch about all of them. All those politicians, if they're able to stay in Washington long enough, they can stay there 10 years. They're going to be set for life.
And that's both political parties.
Yeah.
You know, and
the way of the world, Ed.
And if somebody offered me $250,000 to come speak, I'd do it. So I'm not saying they shouldn't do it. I'm just saying the longer you're in D.C., the more of those offers come your way. If you were just a one or two term senator, you think these big companies and these big money people are going to waste money?
You got to get in there to get your tentacles.
Yes.
Where you can.
You got to be able to get stuff
done.
That's
why there's been so much scrutiny about, former congressmen becoming lobbyists.
Right.
And you see that happen all the time. They leave Congress and then they go to what they call K Street, which is where the lobbyists
have their offices,
and they're paid big bucks by these lobbying firms, much more than they make in Congress, to go back and lobby their friends in Congress to pass legislation that benefits their client.
Yeah, I mean, it's crazy, isn't it? When you start laying it out like that, you go,
"No, that's what they do." That's what, I mean, you watch You watch the a lot of them. And again, this is Republican and Democrat. There's nothing. Well, there has tried to been laws passed which would prevent this from. Is there a law now preventing you from going?
I think there have been
for
attempts,
4 years or something like that.
Yeah,
they tried to do that.
But I'm not sure that it's even legal to tell someone what they can do career wise. I don't know all the answers to that. Yeah. Those kind of questions.
But that's what goes on. That's why you wonder how these people get filthy rich in Washington. I think four of the wealthiest counties in America are surround Washington, D.C.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And we always ask the question, if you're up in Congress in D.C. for 20 years, why don't you just quit and go back and spend time with your grandkids? Because these people are going, I'm not leaving this gravy train.
They're killing it.
Yeah, they're killing it.
And you got great restaurants there in the D.C. area.
Yeah.
You go to
everyone says, hey, Senator, and lovely to see your wife. Oh, that's not your wife. Well, it's lovely to see you too, ma'am, whatever your name is. We have a good table for you over here.
You get used to that.
Sure.
I'm telling you, I haven't had that privilege.
I go into Pizza Hut. They know my name. It's nice. It's nice to
hear. Here's your seat, Mr. Battagliano.
The usual Mr. Battagliano?
Yes, the usual.
Except to add mushrooms tonight.
I'm feeling wild.
And turn on the game for me, okay? The hockey game. You're listening to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. Tim, Ed, and Fred here. Thank you for listening to AFR, American Family Radio. Has the president already spoke? Because he looks
speaking.
Like he's
at speaking now.
He's speaking now.
Yeah. He started.
That's not the well of the United Nations.
No. This is a panel.
Oh.
Yeah, where he's speaking.
Oh, I thought it was a speech that he was giving to. He is giving a speech, but it's not in front of the whole United Nations.
No.
But it's a panel at the United Nations.
I'm just surprised President Trump would appear on any panel. That's just not his style. You know what I'm saying?
Yes.
He's not a one of five
panelists. Not a face in the crowd.
You know, we're going to say, it looks like it's the president and his whole team.
Yeah, there's Mike Pence.
That's a lot of power there.
Yes.
Vice President Pence is there.
Yes.
Mike Pompeo.
Secretary of State
is there.
Mm-hmm.
Those are two evangelical Christians, by the way. You know that, don't you?
Yes.
Now, I don't know who else is there with the president.
If they get a wide shot, maybe we can see.
It's just every time I see that, I go, why does a New York billionaire tycoon who's lived a Playboy lifestyle for most of his life want to hang around with a bunch of Bible thumpers? Huh?
Well,
why is that?
I just think
I say Bible thumpers affectionately because I'm one.
I think there's something going on there. I think
you know how
something.
They refer to us.
Yeah,
the world refers
fundamentalist
to us
Bible
as Bible thumpers. I've never actually. Have you ever thumped a Bible?
I've held it up before.
Is that thumping?
No, I think they're talking about when you like bang the podium.
Have you ever banged the podium?
I've never. I'm not that kind of preacher.
Okay,
when
the world says Bible thumpers, what are they?
What they mean. Like you see someone slap the podium. That they slap the Bible.
Mm-hmm.
Boom, boom, boom. The book said boom, boom. I'm guessing. I've never seen anyone do
it. It's mocking.
Call somebody a Bible thumper is a mocking term.
But like you, I would gladly, when I stand before God, if all he says, hey, I didn't like the way you thumped the Bible, other than that, everything else is good. I'll take that as being the only criticism.
Yeah,
I wear that as a badge of honor.
Bible thumpers. To the world, are people who live out their faith
in
a genuine, sincere way and try their best publicly. Mm-hmm. And so the world, how can I deride those people? How can I put them down? I'll call them Bible thumpers.
Yeah, they may be referring
holier than thou Bible.
Yes,
they love that one.
Right.
The holier than thou Bible thumpers.
They may be referring to self-righteous condemnation. I'm slapping the Bible while I'm pointing at you, but I don't. Yeah, I don't know
an
any
Elmer
Christians.
It's an Elmer Gantry caricature.
I don't know anyone who does that.
Me neither.
All the Christians I know are
walking. The Bible teaches us to walk in humility.
They know enough about that book they know. There's nothing self-righteous about me. I'm just sharing one.
No,
beggar.
But it's the way that the news media and the world want to portray Christians as self-righteous Bible thumpers that. Veins popping out of our neck because we want to force people to be baptized in the way we want.
Whether they want to or
whether
not.
Whether they want to or not, we want to get an army of people travel around the country and forced get forced confessions.
Yes.
That sounds similar to, I don't know, Islam. Huh? If that was what we do for you.
But you can't say that.
What I just said?
You can't denigrate an entire religion by the actions of a few, except when you're talking about Christianity.
Right.
Yes, exactly. You're allowed to do that. Hey, apparently Vice President Pence, President Trump is speaking right now, but Vice President Pence spoke earlier this morning on religious freedom. Cut number 10, Brent.
It is my great honor to be here today with the President of the United States to reaffirm America's commitment to what the people of our nation have always believed, that every person is endowed by our Creator with certain inalienable rights. That Americans have always believed our first freedom is the freedom of religion.
Boy, he used the word our Creator. You know, even that is being condemned today, endowed by our Creator.
Right.
That the fabric that America is built upon the Bible and biblical truths. And that is being condemned everywhere today.
Yeah.
So I'm so glad for this today. And I doubt CNN is covering the way Fox is covering this speech right now.
Well, turn it over there and see.
That'd be interesting to see.
Hey, Brent, can you turn it over to CNN?
Yes.
Yeah. We got Fox News on in the studio. Turn it over to CNN. Fred says he doubts that they're covering it. I'd agree with you, but I'd like to see if they
also
are.
Also, check the NHL channel and see if they have highlights from the Bruins game yesterday.
Keep going to the Property Brothers right there. I like that show. Can you not do?
Well, he didn't know what channel it.
Can you not do the channel without?
I know what it is on Dish, but I don't. This is cable.
That's cable. I think it's. All right. Well.
No, we're watching. This is good, though. This is some World War II drama.
All right. We got 2 minutes, Fred. What else you got?
Got 2 minutes. Well, we do now have, thanks to Steve Jordahl, a bit of what President Trump has just been saying in the last few minutes. It's going to be, let me know when you're ready there, Brent. Cut number 11.
Approximately 80% of the world's population live in countries where religious liberty is threatened, restricted, or even banned. And when I heard that number, I said, please go back and check it because it can't possibly be correct. And sadly, it was 80%. As we speak, Jews, Christians, Muslims, Buddhists, Hindus, Sikhs, Yazidis, and many other people of faith are being jailed, sanctioned, tortured, and even murdered, often at the hands of their own government, simply for expressing their deeply held religious beliefs. So hard to believe. Today, with one clear voice, the United States of America calls upon the nations of the world to end religious persecution.
There you have it, President Trump. Just
good for him
ago.
Bringing attention to this issue.
Right.
Of course, very few places in the world have religious freedom. I dare say maybe 50% of the world does have religious freedom. True religious freedom. I'm just guessing.
I don't know.
China doesn't.
Nope. And they're getting worse and worse.
Islamic countries do not.
Right.
America is a beacon of hope in that regard.
Right.
Yeah. All right, Fred, thank you.
Good to be here.
Keep us posted on those Chicago Blackhawks, okay, as they get ready for the...
As long as they're winning, you'll hear from me.
Even in the preseason. We'll be back in 5 minutes with more of today's issues on AFR. Stay with us.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.